Hey, welcome to the Going Deeper podcast. This is episode 9, which is kind of amazing. So we're going to keep plugging away all year on this. So we're about to get into some double digits, and we're excited about that. But my name is Robbie, and I'm your host. I guess somehow that got thrown on me, but I'm happy to do that. And joining me today is Wayne.
Hello, everybody.
And JD.
Good morning.
And Jeff is not with us today. He is in the process of either losing his voice or turning into Barry White. But but either way, we're gonna say a prayer for him and that. And this job, especially as a teaching pastor, requires a voice and takes a lot out of him. And so we're grateful that we can do this and just keep moving. So we're gonna talk a little bit about the message this past Sunday with our decision day, which is a big thing here at Good News Gathering. And then we're also going to hit a little topic. We have a question about anxiety, and JD is our resident mental health professional. Can I call you that? Is that official?
That is technically accurate.
Yes. All right. We're always going for technical accuracy here. And so he's going to come, I think, a different way than just, I think a pastor probably would on this with his background education. And so we're excited to get into that. But first, before we do this, real news story, because sometimes they know where this is going. Headline reads: The moon will get its own mobile phone network in 2019. I just want to point out that I drop calls between here and my house in Sardinia. Any thoughts, pro or against? For or against moon LTE?
I just want to know
4G.
I just want to know if I'm actually helping to pay for the moon to get 4G LTE, because for me, like, I can see some really helpful things my tax dollars could do, like on planet Earth. So if somebody else is paying for it,
it looks like Vodafone Germany has teamed with Nokia. So you think about the old brick phones in Nokia. So
you can pay
like, what was that? Play the snake game on the moon. So to build the first 4G network on the moon in 2019 to support a private lunar rover mission by the Berlin-based part-time scientist. Is that really the name that they chose for their company? Or is that just part-time scientist? I'm trying to figure out.
Did you just say part-time scientist?
It's capitalized as part-time scientist. So that must be the name of their organization.
I think that's pretty
fun. Known as
it's a very humble way of naming yourself.
Known as PT scientist. Sorry. The group was one of several teams that competed in the Google Lunar X Prize, a private race to the moon that will end in March with no winners. this just summed up, that paragraph just summed up my life. Everybody tried really hard and nobody won. Yeah. So, all right.
But I just love that they were the pseudo winner. Like,
but no one made it to
nobody
the moon.
Nobody actually made it to the moon.
But we still think we can get there. And not only are we going to put a rover, we're going to put a 4G phone network on the moon.
I'm really excited about the fact that if I ever decide to launch into space with SpaceX, that I can then get my text messages from the moon. I'm very thrilled. Personally,
I'm happy because it'll help me.
Is no place safe.
It'll help me understand a few people, because there's been a few people I've talked to that aren't from planet Earth. So I'm thinking this may help me understand them if I call them.
Now I want to make an actually kind of pseudo serious statement. Wayne and I have both been in Haiti, which is a fascinating place in lots of ways. But one of the amazing things is they have this company, the cell phone company down there called Digicel. And it's everywhere. Like, I mean, people, there's two major cell phone companies, but Digicel, at least on the outside, seems to be the bigger and badder of the two. And what's amazing is you can be out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, miles from anything that even resembles a town or a city. I mean, nowhere are you seeing electric lines or anything of that nature. And you've got dudes talking on these Digicel cell phones like they're standing in the middle of Cincinnati. And I'm like, I drop calls here.
Yes.
Right.
Like, how are these guys getting cell phone signal in the middle of nowhere in Haiti? Like, standing in a creek and they're talking on the phone.
Well, I did read somewhere, I think it was AT&T is going to start with, I guess, experimenting about sending even internet across power lines, which will then allow the internet to be anywhere the power goes, which is just, it's just phenomenal. I just thought that was so, like, I was scrolling through my news feed and saw this, the moon will get its own mobile phone network in 2019. And there are still areas. I mean, all you have to look is the coverage maps that, like, Verizon, AT&T boast against each other. And there's still holes.
Major holes.
In there. So,
I'll tell you what, there is not a hole in Haiti. Under Digicel.
There's not.
Like, this podcast is sponsored by Digicel.
A person could be living.
I mean, I wonder
hurting.
If we're supposed to not say the name. Like, is there a trademark
that we're
supposed
to block it
do?
Out? I'm sure we'll go back and edit it.
Yeah. Hey, James, make sure you cut that out. Like, I don't want to get sued.
Our illustrious producer, James Scott, is going to have a lot of editing. Digicel.
They're really hurting their... livestock down the creek, talking on this cell
talking
phone.
Talking on the cell phone.
That's amazing. No place to save. So, well, hey, this past weekend was decision day here at Good News Gathering. And if you were here, hopefully you filled out a card to make a decision. And Jeff is not here to kind of, you know, walk us through a little bit of it. I think we can do this. Yeah. And as we think about this idea of Joshua and that really to be committed, you have to go for it. And Jeff brought up 2 points. One, what is worth my commitment and what is worth my time? Mm-hmm. And that to say, well, I don't have time for something really just means it's not a priority. Mm-hmm. And we may, and that's not necessarily wrong. It's just to say that I will make time for what I think is important.
Absolutely.
Every time that we do that. So this idea that we need to go for it. And I think there comes a point where everyone has to sit down and really think through that decision. We have to think about that. And so, JD, let me kick it over to you. If somebody made a decision, what are some things, some encouragement, some next steps that you might give them?
So you had opportunity on Sunday to make some decisions around things like life groups or giving or getting involved in ministry or you know, going out to share your faith with particular people in your life. And I think one of the encouragements that I would give just kind of jumps off the top of my head is that verse that Dad read from Joshua where he says, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We've made a decision." And just before that, he says, "Choose this day who you're going to serve." All right. Make a decision. Ultimately, my family and my household, we're choosing to serve the Lord. But I thought that phrase, "choose this day," was fascinating because there's an implication there that I can choose today. And if I don't choose again tomorrow, my life will begin to go off track. Every single day we have to wake up and choose to serve the Lord, or we're naturally going to choose to serve something else. And so as you lean on that example of Joshua, he says, "Choose this day who you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we choose to serve the Lord." He woke up again the next day and he chose to do it again. And for those of us that are making these decisions, we're going to have to do it again. You got to wake up today and make the decision that you're going to serve the Lord with whatever decision you made on Sunday, and then you're going to have to wake up tomorrow and you're going to have to do it again. And so, if it was giving, I mean, you're going to have to make a decision at some point to give, and you know, you're going to have to make that decision that day to serve the Lord. If it was life groups or sharing your faith with somebody, be intentional and be intentional about it every day, because that's the way that you ultimately choose to serve the Lord is on a day-by-day basis.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think there's that precedent. If I'm choosing today, we can get overwhelmed by thinking every day, you know, and I think about the rest of my life. Well, we can focus on today.
Yeah.
And I think Jesus kind of speaks to that when he says, I'm going to butcher it, but let tomorrow worry about itself. It's got mm-hmm. enough worries.
Enough
there.
Worries of
let,
its own.
You know, worry about today. Mm-hmm. Think about today.
Yeah.
So Wayne.
Yeah, I remember my first decision day card. I mean, I still have it, and I kind of, when I got it mailed back to me, you know, put it on my mirror just to remind me it is a process that we go through. Where I was, you know, 6-7 years ago with that decision day versus now, just remind me from time to time. And if you marked it, and it's easy to mark that card here on Sunday morning, I'll do that. Now's the time. Have you followed through with that? Now, are you starting that process of whether, like JD said, if you're giving or if you're getting involved in ministry, which, you know, there are ministry areas here. We need more volunteers, and especially in the children's area. You know, that process of Okay. Are you sticking to that? And now's the time, you know, a week later, 2 weeks, a month later, am I in that process or have I forgotten about it? It's easy to do. So, you know, when I got that back, I just stuck it on my mirror. I have my kids that me and Janice sponsor hanging on my mirror every morning. So when I get up, the first thing in the morning I do is reminds me to pray for Ludens and Luciana. I'm praying every morning for them, you know, that God would bless them and get the school safe and they're learning about Jesus and they're growing in their faith and they're getting an education. And Dad, so same thing with this decision day card, you know. Am I still, and no matter how many decision days we've been here for, it's still a process for all of us to grow and to be involved.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. Because I think we can say, man, I listened to a message, man, that's the ideal. I want to go for that. And we're going to set a plan and we're going to do it. And then either we do it or we don't, right? And if we don't, I'm going to try harder, right? And so, you know, I just want to encourage you, whatever decision you made, to remember to bring Jesus into that and to say, you know, hey, I can't do this alone. I mean, the reality is that if you think you can follow the Christian life and do it without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit present, you're actually not doing Christianity at that point. Yep. You have to rely on that. And so I think, you know, we're talking about joking about the moon, but these space explorations and they're sending, you know, rovers to Mars, that they shoot for it. And then it's gradual 1 degree adjustments every day. And that, so my encouragement would be find that 1 degree adjustment that you made that commitment. Okay. So maybe I can't go full bore right now. What is the 1 degree change I can make in my life right now that over time is going to get me to my goal of where we want to go?
So I had a kind of an example. There's a an individual in my life that I have been slowly over the course of time been trying to share Jesus with, and you know I wrote his name down on the card again. It's not the first time his name has appeared on the card for me, and it's simple things. You know, it's a random phone call here and there, either from him or from me, where we just kind of have conversation. Or, you know, one of the things that we're doing is Dad and Wayne and I are actually, you know, working through a training process for our teaching, and here recently we were asked to get somebody outside of the church to review one of our lessons. Well, I immediately thought of him and I was like, okay, I'm going to send this out to him, you know, because, you know, I used my lesson from just a couple weeks ago. So it was about money. So I warned him up front, like, hey, this is a lesson about money. I'm not, you know, asking or expecting anything. I just want you to review the lesson. But it made him listen to it, you know, and little things like that, where I'm just having an opportunity to share through different means with him. It's like you said, that little 1 degree of adjustment. No, I can't force him to sit down and go, I'm going to give you a full explanation of the gospel right this minute. You know, that's not always possible. But you can do little things example wise. You can do little things, you know, where you're offering him an opportunity to give you feedback about something that you're doing. You know, it's like, but that gives him just a little more connection with Jesus. He has to listen to the Bible to, you know, to review my lesson. Those little kinds of things you can find interesting ways, fun ways, and low level ways of engaging people right where they are. And you can do this with all of the different kinds of decisions that we made. You know, and I think one of the brilliant things that Dad brought up that I really liked was that the decision to go through life with Jesus, we have to decide, is it worth that commitment? Is it worth that time? Is it worth the risk? And I really appreciated that, because it will involve all three. I mean, there will be risk, there will be necessary commitment, there will be necessary time spent. And at the end of it, I'm just sold out to the belief personally that there's nothing we could do with our lives that's worth more than that. And so I just want to encourage the people that are listening to us that you can focus your life around 1,000 things. But I truly believe that there's nothing more important than walking with Jesus every day.
Another point he made was, he says, you've heard many times, I don't have the time. Mm-hmm. Well, we all have 24 hours in a day. Everybody has 24 hours a day. and we make time for what we think is important in our life. Mm-hmm. I know some of you out there may be thinking, Wayne, you don't understand my schedule. How I don't have time to squeeze anything else into my schedule. Well, it goes back to our priorities. Sometimes we got to make our priorities, and if ministry isn't a priority, then, you know, like you said, if Jesus needs to be in the middle of what we're doing, or it's no longer what we intended it to be, you know. So it's what you make the time for. So,
Yeah, I think that's a good point to say. And I think it's, if we think about the Great Commission, go and make disciples, this idea of going, it's as you go. And so we're not talking about these grand changes that are going to happen. I mean, maybe for some of you it is, but but for a lot of you, it's going to be the barista you see at the coffee shop every single day.
Yep.
It is going to be the coworker in the cubicle next to you, who rides with you as you're making deliveries, who's the office worker with you, whatever it is you're doing on the job site, whatever it is, it's going to be that person.
The neighbor down the street.
Exactly. Yeah, God's bringing to you. And so, and this idea of, man, do I really love them? Has, you know, the way Jesus does. And I've been wrestling with that, you know, in my own life, thinking about like my neighbors, and, you know, like, are they going to be surprised to find out I'm a Christian? You know, like that's how they probably would be, you know, and we have new neighbors just moved in across the street, and I've seen so many people over there. I have no idea which one's actually the new neighbor, but man, have I gone over? No. And of course I'm feeling convicted right now, but you know, and, but again, there comes a decision then that I have to make that will I risk being inconvenienced for the sake of the gospel. And that's where that risk comes in.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that, that really drove this whole idea that we're doing with the Hillsborough Not As Usual project. You know, this specific emphasis on the Ward 4 area of Hillsborough, you know, kind of centered around, you know, Johnson Street, that center area of Ward 4 in Hillsborough, and just trying to make life better for the people that live there and engage with them and learn from them and be challenged by them and do whatever we can as a church to just be Jesus in that neighborhood. Because we know that everywhere we go, we're called to take Jesus with us, and we're called to go. Maybe I should say we even flip that. We're called to allow him to call us wherever he wants to go. And for us, it just seems this is our backyard. You know, this is where we are. And there's all kinds of people all over the city of Hillsborough that have absolutely no connection with God whatsoever. It's scary to me that we live in this Bible Belt, rural, Southern Ohio town, and there are so many people around us that are asking all the questions to which, you know, those of us with faith and those of us who read our Bibles have the answers. And so often it's so easy for us to ignore that as we leave the house and don't talk to our neighbor, as we don't engage with people, as we just continually fill up our bank account, as we, you know, spend time just focusing on our family and not expanding outside of that. I mean, there's all of the natural everyday, day in, day out, that can become all consuming for us. And we forget to do the one thing he truly called us to do, right? The one job, like as we said back in January, that we have, which is to go make disciples.
Yeah. Great point. All right, well, let's move on to, we had a question submitted, and if you have any questions you would like us to hit and answer well or poorly, we cannot confirm or deny whether or not there'll be good answers. There will be a response that you will receive to a question if you send it in. So you can send those in to info@goodnewsgathering.org or write them on a communication card and they will get to us. But this person wrote in, and JD, I'll kick it to you to kind of start us off. But it says, God tells us in the Bible not to be anxious about anything or to worry. Is it a sin if a person is diagnosed with an anxiety disorder?
So this is a really, really good question, right? Because the person who sent it in is absolutely correct, right? The Bible does say, don't be anxious, don't be worried. And yet, those of us who are in the mental health field, you know about these things called anxiety disorders. And there's different iterations of it. You have things like panic disorder, which is where individuals experience regular panic attacks, or obsessive compulsive disorder. You might have seen individuals that struggle with that, where they have to perform certain rituals in order to relieve the anxiety in their minds. Or one of the big ones, here over the last, 20, 30 years, that's gained a ton of traction in the research, and there's all kinds of treatment modalities for it, is something like post-traumatic stress disorder. These anxiety reactions to horribly traumatic experiences. And typically all of the anxiety disorders are characterized by the presence of significant anxious thoughts that result in behaviors that are, attempt to soothe or relieve the anxiety. So we have these anxious thoughts. We're afraid of going to the store. We're afraid of dealing with that traumatic situation again, or we feel like we have to do this or that to keep ourselves alive or to stop this horrible thing from happening. And often the root cause for anxiety disorders themselves are things like adverse traumatic experiences in the past. So that person who is in a war zone that's watching people die all around them, or the child that's been abused, or it can be the result of chemical or physiological reactions within the person's brain. So when you boil it all down, all of those above things, and you kind of look at it from a biblical perspective, anxiety disorders are the result of either natural or personal evil. Right? So the anxiety disorder going on in my life is either the result of the breakdown, the physical breakdown of my body in some way, shape, or form. My physiology, my brain chemistry, et cetera, is fighting against me and helping to create these anxious thoughts, or they're the result of personal evil. Something that somebody has done to me, or something that somebody has done to somebody else. I remember one of my very first clients ever was a 15, 16-year-old kid with classic down-the-line post-traumatic stress disorder, and it was all from watching his mother be systematically beaten by his father. And so there's all of this anxiety going on in his heart and in his life. And so in other words, we live in a broken world where bad things happen to us and others, and we live in broken bodies that have physiological breakdowns. And so we just truly live in a fallen world. And so to some degree or another, you have this on this one side where an individual with anxiety and anxious thoughts and these anxiety disorders, it's not their fault. In many cases, it's stuff that's been done to them. It's something that's going on in their brain. But then you do actually have numerous examples in the Bible of statements that say, don't be anxious. So you've got Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. He says, don't worry. And he goes on to talk about things like what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, are you going to have enough? All right, this idea of provision. He says, don't worry. Well, if you take don't worry as a command, then to not follow through on Jesus' command, technically a sin. Right? I think we would all probably agree with that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, present your request to God. So instead of being anxious, what are you supposed to do with that? All right, these are commands, and not following commands is a sin. So you have to kind of think through this balance. All right, you've got a disorder that isn't necessarily your fault, with a command not to worry or be anxious, which if you don't follow is a sin, right? And I think as I've kind of reviewed the, not only the research about anxiety disorders, but also as I've reviewed what Scripture has to say, there's a little bit of a key for me in that Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, do not be anxious about anything. And I think that word be is very important. Do not be anxious. It does not say, do not feel anxious. Now, those are two different things. Being anxious is living from a standpoint of anxiety to the point that it impacts your ability to do what the rest of the verse says. By prayer and petition, take your request to God and trust Him with it. right? It doesn't say don't feel anxious. We're all going to have anxious thoughts that come. And the key, I think, is found in 1 Peter 5:7. It says, cast all your anxieties upon him, for he cares for you. All right? So God in his infinite love and infinite wisdom is willing to take on our anxiety. He's willing to have us come to him and say, God, I'm anxious, and I know there are certain things that I should do with that anxiety, i.e. come to you and trust you with it, but I'm scared and I'm struggling and I need your help. That in and of itself is a great way to handle anxiety. But choosing instead to run off with our anxiety and do all these things that, you know, anxious behaviors, you know, trying to protect ourselves with no attempt to take that to God, I think there's a legitimate case to be made biblically that that can be sinful behavior. I came across a pretty cool example in Genesis. And I think this is interesting. So in Genesis, you meet the book, or you, I'm sorry, in the book of Genesis, you meet this character, Abraham. And in chapter 12, there's this watershed moment where God comes to Abraham. He shows up in front of Abraham and he says, I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your father's household, and I want you to go to a land I will show you. By the way, I'm not giving you a roadmap. You're just going to have to trust me. Immediately, I think for many people, just that command alone would be anxiety producing, right? Leave your land, leave your home, leave your family, go to some place that I'm not even going to tell you where it is. I think many of us would be anxious, right? But then God backs it up with this promise. He says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So God says, I want you to leave. I want you to do this very anxiety-producing thing. But trust me, because you're going to have a family, you're going to have descendants, the whole world is going to be blessed because of what you do and because of your trust in me. And so Abraham goes. All right, and this seems like this big triumphant moment, and it's really cool. He's got all these blessings from God. He's got all this promise from God that God is going to take care of him and love him and be with him. And literally, 7 verses later, same chapter, he goes down to Egypt because there's a little bit of famine going on in the area. And he goes down to Egypt and he says this. This is verse 11, same chapter, chapter 12. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife, Sarah, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will kill me, but let you live. So what we're going to do, hun, is we're going to lie to everybody and we're going to say that you're my sister. All right? And he does this, and it creates a bunch of havoc. It creates havoc in his own life, and I can't imagine the impact on his relationship with his wife, you know, where he basically says, hey, I'm going to act like you're my sister. You're supposed to lie to everybody. I'm going to lie to everybody. You're like, it's a total anxiety moment, right? He takes his wife, and he acts like she's not his wife, tells everybody that she's his sister. She actually gets taken away from him into the palace of the king. And so now she's living in the king's harem apart from her husband. He's put her in this position because of his anxiety, right? He had an opportunity to trust God. He didn't do it. He lived from his anxiety, and it caused major problems, not only for him, but for the Egyptians and for his wife as well. And so I think in there is a pretty good example of anxiety, right? He had an anxious thought. Oh my goodness, they could kill me because my wife is really pretty and they might want to get me out of the way so they could have her, right? In and of itself, that thought alone is not a sin. But what did he do with it? He ran with it and he acted on it. And instead of taking it to God and trusting the God who had just made all these really cool promises to him, he behaved in ways that were sinful as a result of his anxiety. So I think to boil it all down, right? Anxious thoughts are probably going to come for all of us. And in and of themselves, those are not sinful. However, the minute we choose not to take our anxiety to God, and we choose not to take our worry to God, and we choose not to trust him with it, but instead try to protect ourselves and trust ourselves and do things that are anxiety driven, at that point you're on really sketchy ground as far as whether or not specifically biblically you're sinning. I would say that you probably are. Certainly Abraham was driven into lying and mistreating his wife and mistreating other people. Those things are sins, and they were driven by his anxiety. So just the mere fact of having anxiety, not necessarily sinful. The way you handle it very much can be.
So there's a place for trusting God in the midst of those feelings then?
Absolutely. I think there's not only a place, it's our absolute call and responsibility to trust God with that. And you know, I had an example of this the other night, just personally. There was a moment for me where I got pretty anxious the other night, kind of a specific situation, and I was really nervous and scared. My breathing kind of, you know, my breathing rate jumped up. I could feel my heart beating in my chest. And I remember, because I had to get up out of bed and just walk around for a second. And as I walked, I stopped and I just said, God, I know I'm being tempted to be very anxious right now. Like, I just need your help. I need to take this to you. I need you to have it. You know what I'm worried about. You know what I'm fearing. I'm not gonna try to do something crazy to protect myself here. Just please be with me and take care of me. And you see yourself start to calm down. That prayer, take everything by prayer and petition, present your request before God, is a legitimate method of dealing with our anxiety. And so for me, that was a very powerful experience to be reminded, even as I'm getting ready to answer this question on this podcast, right? To remember that I can do that. I can take it to God and he is going to respond. And he did. He did. He sent some very soothing thoughts and Bible verses into my head, right? You know, and I was hearing him speak to me as a result of me saying, listen, I want to trust you with this. I want to know that it's going to be okay. Please help me. And he did. And so if I had run off and tried to deal with the situation myself or force it to go the way I thought it should go or whatever, ultimately I would have ended up probably doing something that was sinful.
Well, being an anxious person myself, and I deal sometimes with some of these things, and where I wake up in the morning at 4 a.m. and the day starts going through my mind. Okay, I've got all this stuff to do and this to do. And the thing you said, you know, cast all your cares upon me. And what I've learned is, like you said, when I try to be my own boss then, do my own thing, I really struggle. It's to me learning how to cast, to putting that trust in him and saying, okay, God, you've got this. It's yours. You've got to take this away from me. I've got to totally trust and have faith in you that this is going to be okay. And then, like you said, then that moment comes where you, yeah, mm-hmm, he's got this. But it's, to me, it's getting to the point where giving it to him, mm-hmm, you know, just totally trusting him. And I think my personal makeup is, you know, my DNA. My mom is the same way. She's a kind of an anxious person, kind of a worrier. And you guys all out there probably know somebody that's kind of that way. But it's that putting that trust in God and saying, hey, and you said the key was those memory verses, the scripture coming back. The more that scripture we have in us, that comes back to help us in that time and say, hey, I've got this. You know, I've got it covered. And not only that, the story you shared, what I love about the end of that story is the king finally came to him when he found out, well, wait a minute, this is your wife?
Yeah.
He king said, do you know what kind of position you put me in? Mm-hmm. So sometimes my anxious thoughts, sometimes it's not only what I'm doing to myself, but what am I doing to other people and those around me? So,
yeah.
He put the king in the king, and he, like you said, he didn't trust God, because if you'd have trusted God, said, yes, she's my wife. But finally says, the king says, do you not know what you did and what position you put me in? And then, tell me, because like you said, the fear just kind of overran him.
Overwhelmed him. Yes. You know, I think there's something instructive about that. And Abraham, it's interesting, Abraham here, this guy who we think of as walking with God, and he absolutely did. I'm not trying to challenge that at all. I mean, he was an absolutely faithful man, and throughout Scripture he was lauded as such. But he was confronted by a pagan king for allowing his anxiety to get out of control. And I remember there was one time I was in college. I had this almost exact same experience because I was in college and I was playing football at the time, and it wasn't quite going my way. And I commiserated this to a friend of mine, also on the football team, who was not a Christian. And I was struggling. I was upset. I was trying to figure out whether or not I was going to talk to the coach, because I just felt like things weren't well between me and him. And in my opinion, causing me to have fewer opportunities to play and stuff of that nature. And I will never forget it because I'm sitting across this picnic table talking to this friend of mine who's not even a Christian. And he goes, "Dude, aren't you supposed to like pray? You know?" You know, I got called up short by this guy who doesn't even believe, right? About the fact that I was letting myself get into this anxiety spin cycle about whether or not I should talk to coach and whether or not I should, you know, even keep playing and all that kind of stuff. And I was just nervous and worried and upset and angry and like all this jumble of emotions. And he just said, "Aren't you supposed to pray?" And I've never forgotten that. I have absolutely never forgotten that because it was so instructive for me in the moment. Here's this guy who doesn't even have the faith that I have, but yet he's challenging me to remember the faith that I have and to put it into practice. And so for any of you out there that might struggle with anxious thoughts or anxiety disorders, please understand there is really good help out there available. You know, here at GNG specifically, we have a whole counseling program through our partnership with ThrivePoint Counseling. There are multiple counselors available to meet with you here at GNG. And it's done in private. It's handled with all of the same structural protections as any counseling organization anywhere in the state of Ohio. The HIPAA compliance, right? The privacy compliance is just as high here as anywhere else. And so, you know, whatever you might, you know, come in to work on or talk about with one of the counselors here is going to be, you know, taken care of and protected just like it would be anywhere else. But seek the help. There's good mental health counseling out there, and there are good people that will walk through this with you, even in a biblical way, like ThrivePoint will. And it's a helpful way of getting what you need. Because anxiety can be a very debilitating and challenging and crippling thing if you allow it to be. And I think the reason that Jesus said, "Don't worry and don't be anxious," all right, and he made it to some degree or another a sin to act out of our anxiety, you know, not just feel it, but to act out of it. I think the reason for that is at our core, anxiety sends us the message that whatever it is we're dealing with it alone. And the whole message of Scripture from front to back is that God made this world, God is in control. At no point in our world are you actually alone. And so anxiety is sending us a lie that the Bible is trying to confront and correct, that you're not alone. You've never been alone. And if you tap into the power available to you, you can overcome this situation. And so I think it's really important. And believe me, I'm very compassionate to this because I myself have struggled with it at various points in my past, and still do on random experiences like the one I just mentioned earlier. And so I would encourage you, don't handle it alone. Take it to God. Share that to some degree or another with trusted people in your life who can walk with you through it, and get whatever help you feel like you need, because it's available, and it will prove to you in no uncertain terms that you're not alone to deal with it.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because it almost seems like, especially in the church, that mental health has such almost a taboo feel to it.
Very much.
We don't talk about it. We don't admit it. You know, I can admit to all sorts of issues I'm struggling with, addictions, things like that. And everybody's so compassionate about that. But mm-hmm. if I say, hey, I have an anxiety disorder, yes. we're like, oh,
what's the matter with you?
What's wrong with you?
Yes.
And so we're not going to, you know, obviously JD is a mental health professional, but beyond that, you know, it's a, from my understanding, case by case,
yeah.
Of what you need, the therapy, whatever it is that you might need. And this is where it's going to be really important to be in that ongoing relationship with a counselor or therapist, somebody that is trained to walk you through that. It's one thing to share it with your friend. But if this is a true full-blown disorder, you know, get some professional help.
Absolutely.
That's available. And as JD said, you know, Thrive Point Counseling here, we don't even handle that scheduling from the office. You can call the office. We're just going to redirect you. And so we don't even know, that's actually done after, hours. You come in through a separate door into the building. We don't ever see who's going to and from counseling. It's the way it's been set up on that. And so we just want to encourage you to do that, because there's probably 1,000 yeah buts that you can think mm-hmm. of right now, especially if you're in the throes of that anxiety disorder. You're not thinking about this. What about this? And that's beyond the kind of the scope of where we can go today. And so mm-hmm. we're just going to say that the sin is dictated by what you do, not necessarily just by what you feel. Is that yeah. a
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely. It's, you know, I remember hearing somebody similarly refer to temptation in the same way, right? Like, temptation is like trying to stop a bird from flying over your head, right? Well, you can't stop it. Like, sometimes temptation hits us. The sin is not being tempted. The sin is following through. Right, it's similar with anxiety. You can't necessarily stop an anxious thought from popping into your head. They're going to happen. They happen to all of us. But what do you do with it is the determining factor.
Yeah, oh, that's great. And I think to understand that that Jesus, being fully man, would have experienced the full range of human emotion.
Oh.
And so, you know, in kind of preparing, talking through this, Wayne, you brought up anger. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk about that.
Well, I mean, similarly, when they talked about this, I think of, I've had people ask before, well, is being angry a sin? Well, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. You know, when Jesus went into the temple and saw the money changers and how they had changed everything, he tipped over the tables and got a whip out. He was justified in what he did, because what they were doing was wrong. So similarly, I mean, it goes back to what JD said. What are we going to do with that, you know, mm-hmm. and not do it alone, get support. And there's times when I've, you know, me and Janice have talked, or I've talked to other people, you know, just acknowledges, hey, need some help getting through this. We'll get through it, and not letting it dictate how you feel and how you live, I think mm-hmm. is the big thing. And JD, you said earlier before we started, not letting it affect your relationship with God in where He wants you to go. We've got to get to that. Got to get the help wherever it may be, mm-hmm. for a friend or through Thrive Point or someone to help us get through that, where we can get back on course where God wants us to be.
It's putting yourself in a position to be helped.
Yes,
you know, because when anxiety happens. And it does.
It will happen.
It will happen to all of us. It's who are you taking that to? How are you handling it? And what are you doing with it? Because it's going to happen. The question is, you know, am I going to remain faithful to God? Am I going to trust that He's going to walk through this with me or not? And that the perspective that we truly adopt will come out in our behavior. It will.
And I just saw a headline kind of similar to what you
about the earlier, moon.
About the moon, but even Kevin Love has come out, the place for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, I saw that too.
I've struggled with things. We all have our issues, you know, and so you would think a guy, here's how can he have any kind of anxiety or anything? The guy's got it made. Well, no, that's not the case. We all deal with those things. There's a perfect example. He says, hey, we all struggle with these things, and now he's kind of coming out and saying, Yeah, even professionals, we have our issues.
Professional athlete, yeah. millions of dollars, yes. championship winner, like yeah. all of it, mm-hmm. you know, and came out and said yeah. no uncertain terms. I had a panic attack exactly. a couple weeks ago. You yeah. know, like that's I mean, it's a brave move. Mm-hmm. It's an absolutely brave move to mm-hmm. say that.
Yes.
But it's a braver move for him to go get
exactly.
help. You know, for him to say, "Yeah, I had this," mm-hmm. is good. It's a more important thing to allow someone to feed into your life and help you. And hopefully, I don't know Kevin's love relationship with God. I certainly hope he's mm-hmm. taken that to him. But for those of us that are Christians, that's got to be stop yes. number one. Mm-hmm. Is that first prayer of saying, "God, I'm anxious, I'm nervous, I'm scared, I'm about to do something crazy because I'm being driven by anxiety. Take this from me. Yes. Help me." Let me know that it's going to be okay. I read a cool verse this morning that just popped into my head, and I thought this was cool. This is from Psalm 33. It says, "We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name." And in my mind, as I was reading that verse, I saw this almost hand-to-hand battle with whatever your particular struggle is. You know, for me, sometimes it has been anxiety. And so in the back of my mind is this hand-to-hand fight between me and anxiety. And it says that God is our hope and our help and our shield. And I almost pictured Him like jumping between us and anxiety and swinging His sword at anxiety, simultaneously shielding us and protecting us from having to continue that fight on our own. And I love that image and it was like, you know, just this Braveheart style sword, hand to hand war going on and God jumping in between us. And it says, we rejoice in the Lord our God. Right. And I think about that, like how relieved and how joyful you are when someone else jumps in to protect you from that thing that's scaring you. And God is offering that to us every single day, no matter what our temptation may be, whether it's anxiety or anger or, you know, fear or like a thousand things. God's willing to be the one to jump in between and fight that battle for us if we'll hand it over to Him. Mm-hmm. And I just love that image, and I hope that's maybe helpful to our listeners.
And the verse that's been going through my mind the last 2 days, if you have the Bible app, it was Hebrews 11:6 yesterday, and it says, "Without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him believe that He exists and that He rewards those," and this is what really got me, "who earnestly seek Him." And that's the thing that I've tried to do. Okay, God, I've got maybe this issue going on, so I'm going to seek You out so my faith can the faith in You, I can be an overcomer. Mm-hmm. But I have to earnestly seek Him out. Hebrews 11:6.
Yeah. And let me just say, I think sometimes even earnestly seeking God out can look like getting help.
Yes.
And getting counseling. So let me just say, you can get a hold of Thrive Point Counseling, and you can call and schedule and talk to them about appointments at 513-914-4688. 513-914-4688, or you can go to goodnewsgathering.org/counseling, and you can find all their information there, as well as you can schedule an appointment online, and that'll redirect you to them. So we really want you to find the help that you need. And JD?
One thing I wanted to just make everybody aware is that GNG is really committed to this, as providing this service to our people, but not just our people. The partnership that we have set up with Thrive Point allows people that don't even come to GNG to come to GNG for this service, and even to access some of the affordable therapy funds that GNG has set aside. We don't discriminate based on church attendance as to whether or not you're eligible to have GNG help take care of part of the bill for the counseling services. And so that's a thing that's it. We just want you guys who are listening to know it's that important to us that we're willing to put aside some money every year to make sure that this service is available and to offset some of the cost to the actual person seeking help. And it doesn't matter where they go to church or if they go to church at all, for them if they want to access those services. So I hope that you know, I thank you for grabbing that number and getting it out there, Robbie, because we as a leadership team and as a staff want people who are struggling with these kind of issues to get the help that they need because it's so necessary.
Yeah, and again, it's 513-914-4688. Well, hey, we are pushing 50 minutes now. So, who knows? We get to start talking about the moon and then we just jettisoned right into everything else. So we hope that this has been helpful for you. And it's a little different take when we talk about going deeper in your faith, and that sometimes we need to deal with life and we need to deal with the things that, that can hold us down. And we need to pursue after God. And sometimes that's going to look like getting professional help, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But just don't let that anxiety, that anger, that whatever drive you to sin and make decisions out of that, that mm-hmm. would be sinful, and trust in God and then also get some help. Mm-hmm. And we're going to encourage you all the way to do that. So, hey, we hope this has been helpful to you, and we hope to see you hear you next week.
You hear us.
Yeah, you'll hear us, whatever, however that works. If you have any questions you want us to respond to, we'd love to hear them. So info@goodnewsgathering.org, and we hope you all have a great week.
Take care, guys.
Take care. Thank you.